And now, Free Fire Radio, radio. About to commence.
Good morning, welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 7:06 in the morning, September 23rd. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. Except for one thing. Linda.
No Linda.
I have Dr. Doug McConnell sitting in here as my guest co-host, which we're starting, you know, for every Thursday. We're going to have a co-host, a guest co-host that comes in here and is an expert in some field, and so he covers up for all the gaps in mine.
Well, so, thank you. Good morning. I'm not nearly as attractive as Linda, but I'm happy to spend the time with you.
Well, you know, also usually Linda and I give a little kiss and a pat before we start, but I've noticed that you sit on the other side of the room, which is probably good. Yes. Anyway, hey, but we are joined by Bad Bob.
An honor and a pleasure to be in the room with such men as this.
Oh, Bob, you know, sometimes you just, you could just knock me over with a feather. Anyway, in today, the weather is going to be, if it's been just like anything else, it's going to be great. If it's been like the rest of the week, though, we're looking at a high of 85 today with a north-northwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm. It is right now
around 52.
52 degrees. So it's nice out there. You know, last night was nice. And what about that moon? Did you like the moon, Doug?
I did. It was gorgeous. And more importantly, driving here this morning, it was absolutely beautiful as it was setting to the west over the Sacramento River.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a stop on the bridge and take a picture moment.
Our guest host is Dr. Doug McConnell. And Doug is the chief heart surgeon. Can I say that?
Yes.
And at Shasta. And you've been here, living here for how long?
Well, my wife and I moved up here permanently in July of 2009, so 1 year and a few months, and enjoying it and the town and the wonderful people at that good medical center.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a cardiovascular thoracic surgeon, and grew up really in Southern California, in a fun family with a couple sisters. From there, went to Stanford University and got a degree in a new field then called molecular biology. And after that, off to UCLA, where I became a Bruin. Stayed at UCLA for 12 years.
Tough getting out of that college?
Well, it was
spent my best 6 years in fifth grade.
Four years of medical school and 8 years of residency training after that. But interesting, during the time, a fellow footballer that I played with returned to UCLA and became the head coach, Terry Donahue. He and I played together. And so Terry was the head coach about the same time I was chief resident at UCLA. So we used to meet for lunch on campus, wondering what to. We were both sort of young for our positions. So I think he was 33 and I was as well. So we used to wonder, what are two 33-year-old guys doing, the heads of various programs at the big university there? But so after those 12 years at UCLA, I then went on active duty in the Army and was a surgeon. And my active duty time was spent with the 101st Airborne, where I had a
Airborne.
Yeah, it was absolutely. But it was sort of an assignment mistake. I had been a pilot, and during my assignment officer at the Pentagon wanted to know what my interests were as my active duty time came up. And I said, well, I love to fly. What can the Army do for me there? He said, oh, let me take care of that. So I got my assignment remark that you're now assigned to an airborne division. I called the guy up. I said, now, best I can tell, airborne people will jump out of airplanes. I was talking about flying the airplane. And that led to but anyway, that's where I was. And learned a lot, met some wonderful people, and did some things there. And actually learned a lot of medicine from there. And then to Long Beach, California, and was there for 28 years. And came up to Reading starting in 2006 intermittently and eventually full-time 2009.
Well, we're really glad you're up here.
Well, thank you. I am too. And my wife is very enthused about the people. In fact, Reading's a lot to be proud of, in particular the people that make this community so good.
After the break, I'd be curious to find out why he selected Reading of all the places he could have lived.
Well,
we can do that right now.
You want that?
Yeah, because I make up the breaks.
Oh, so. Do you? Gee, it's great to be working with a chief, I guess. In 2006, a surgeon from Long Beach was recruited by the then owner of the hospital to come up and work, Ann Cahill, and she asked me to be available to come up and give her vacation time or breaks when she had to leave her coverage. And I agreed. I came up here and started working at the hospital, which was very impressed with the nurses and the people and the quality of the institution. It had been through some tough times prior to that. That said, the resilience of the infrastructure and the people were impressive. And then I got to meet the people. And this is a town with great community and great culture. You know, all you have to do is go to a Cool April Nights and a rodeo weekend and meet the people like my wife has met in the newcomers group. I just gave a talk to them yesterday to just see the cross-section of the quality folks that make up Reading. So when the offer of a full-time position in July came around, it wasn't real hard to come take a look. It was a big career change in the sense that we picked up and moved up here, but I don't think either, I know I haven't, and I know my wife has not either regretted it, and we've just enjoyed the people. It's a good community.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, when I came up here, Linda had said to me when I was coming back from Iraq in 07 that Reading is a great place. It's veteran-friendly, the community is a very caring community, and you can ride your Harley. And I thought, okay, so we came up, and everything she said I have found to be true, except the point since we acquired the radio station of riding a Harley. I have that on trickle charge most of the time, and I get harassed by all of my friends. And we've got to take a quick break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on assignment, getting ready for her show tonight, and that's where Linda is on Thursday mornings. She's getting ready for On the Spot with Linda Bott. That starts at 6 o'clock tonight. She has got... Excuse me. She's got some great guests. They're going to be talking theater, entertainment. You know, this is not a political show at 6 o'clock at night. This is a show about entertainment. It's a show about women who have busted the glass ceiling, women that are in men's jobs, theater, music. She's got, I believe, she's got some surprise music guests that are going to come rolling in here in a few weeks to do a concert. So she's on tonight from 6 to 7. Carl Bott and Linda Bott on KCNR 16-4. I'll be okay. KCNR 14C, she's not here, Bob.
Yep, you need her.
Okay, the home of Free Fire Media.
Yes.
Welcome back, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's getting ready for her show tonight. It's 7:15 in the morning. It is September the 23rd. It's like 56 degrees. It's going to be up to 85 today. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's, and Anselmo's is... a great destination.
Agreed.
Yeah, I know you've been up there, Doug, and they're going to have music again Friday. It's going to be, you know, and you have to usually make, you should make your reservations, especially on those Fridays or music, because where they have it there in the music room, in the old wine tasting room, it fills up. You can put like, I guess maybe 60 people in there, but they fill that up quick.
Right.
The, you know, an event that's coming up on Saturday. The 25th is the MASH, the Great MASH event that's coming up, the MASH Bash.
MASH Bash, yeah.
Hey, Bob, close the doors over there. I've got people wandering around through here. So on Saturday, MASH Bash, Rob Burrows, who heads up the Northern California Veterans Heritage Museum, is putting on a fundraiser. It is called the MASH Bash. It's going to be out at the Shasta Air Center and the Rotor Center out there. Tickets are available. And if you've got a child that's under 10, they get in free under 18. I think it's 10 to 18, $25, and adults, $35. But for that, you get to look at all the great historical displays they're going to have out there. And they're going to have many. They're going to have a band. You get dinner. There's helo rides at an additional price. They're going to have a corporal cleaner and a hot lips Houlihan.
A dress contest.
I hope so. And you were in 101st.
Yeah.
You were in like a MASH unit.
Yes, I was.
Did you have a hot lips?
No.
Come on now. Hot lips?
Only on long deployments or something. No. No. There we did not have we did have a the head of my operating room was Lieutenant Colonel King. I was a major. Uh-huh. So she outranked me, and nurses on the audience will love that piece. But anyway, Colonel King, but she was not hot lips.
No way, huh?
She had a real gravelly voice and had been in the Army for a long time, but she was really a very good nurse. But no, she was not Hot Lips, but she was someone we really enjoyed working
with. So did you have like a Corporal Klinger?
They were probably out there in the unit somewhere, but we never saw
them. They never put the dress on and walked around with the matching pearls.
Young men wearing dresses in the 101st Airborne were not going to be around too
long. You didn't see that back then as much.
Not at all, as a matter of fact. But it made for good entertainment, and as I recall, actually, Klinger wasn't a...
No.
Radar was in the original movie, was it not?
Yeah, Radar was, and then Radar was in the original, also in the original TV show, and then he left, I don't know, the show must have gone on for, 20 years?
Oh, it was... Klinger it was an invention of the TV part of it.
Right.
Although I did once meet Harry Morgan, who played the Colonel in the original the MASH TV show.
Okay.
Told him how much I enjoyed that role, and that, indeed, during part of my medical career, I participated in similar... sometimes antics, but the presentation of the physicians being sort of very unmilitary and uncertain is actually very accurate, because my second day of active duty, I was a major and had never been sent to officer basic school, so I didn't know anything. I had my nice oak leaves on, but I was making it up. That's because they were short of surgeons.
Okay, now, if I remember right, you went by another officer and...
my first day, I had my travel orders. I arrived at the 101st Airborne. I was trying to get into the hospital where they were looking for the new surgeon. And coming at me was a guy who really looked like he was in the 101st Airborne with a blue badge I didn't recognize initially, later to be recognized as the combat infantry badge, and ribbons, walking towards me. And he had a silver oak leaf on, and I had my nice gold or bronze oak leaf.
Gold, yeah.
Yeah, gold. So I figured that, you know, having been a track athlete and other, if you have the gold medal, you trump the silver. And therefore, I thought he should maybe salute me. Well, anyway, we came to an agreement pretty quickly that, good morning, doctor, because fortunately I had a caduceus on my left collar, and that bought you a lot of patience.
Oh, but yeah, that does. Yeah.
That was my first, remember, I had not been sent to officer basic school. I'd been at UCLA 2 days before. So he instructed me on how a lieutenant colonel does outrank a major, and I said, yes, sir, and moved on. But, yes, that was my first day.
You know, when I got out of boot camp at Paris Island, they ship you out, as you leave, as you graduate, they put you down into into this little airport out there, and then everybody kind of leaves from the airport. Well, I'm in the Atlanta airport, but I'm outside, and I'm kind of walking from one terminal to another, and here comes a soldier coming toward me, and he had shiny things on his epaulets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the Marine Corps, anything shiny like that gets saluted. And I saluted a specialist.
An Army specialist
who, after he finished laughing, told me, oh, you don't salute, we're enlisted too. Okay, I knew that. And I just kept going. So, hey, we got to take a quick break, and we're going to come back. We're going to start talking about a few more serious parts, but I'm also going to tell you what happens when Elk Killer, Snooky the Magnificent, took on the skunk last night.
Oh, no.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest co-host today is Dr. Doug McConnell. Come back after this break, and I will tell you how you can take care of skunk smell.
Hi.
1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's off today getting ready for On the Spot with Linda Bott tonight. Our guest host, though, is...
Dr.
Doug McConnell. That's right. You know, last night, I told this story, a couple of weeks ago, was that Snooki, our dog, went out in our backyard, and we have lights that come on, and then they go off, which, of course, I still haven't figured out why this one light goes off. She goes out there, and she's barking at something. I think she's got a cat, because there's cats out in her backyard. They come out there all the time. And this little skunk runs right past me. Well, and I yelled at Snooki to stop, and Snooki stopped. Okay. I said, you got to leave those skunks alone. And she said she could handle it. Last night, take her outside at about 9 o'clock. She runs down the other end. She's barking. She gets that little, kind of that little dog jumping up and down. And not little. She just gets really big. She gets about as big as a 80-pound pit bull. And she goes into the bushes. Well, I didn't like the sound of that. And so she comes. I yell at her. She comes back. She comes trotting back. And I go, you okay? She's not acting funny. She's not acting anything. She's like, Yeah. So I reach down, and the smell is just starting. So Linda's in the house. Says, Linda, give me a towel. Snooky has found a skunk. So she gives me a towel, and I make one of the biggest errors that I've made in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I wrapped the dog up, because it didn't smell that much. I mean, it smelled like maybe it was just like a small skunk, or it hadn't really quite hit her. So I wrap her up in this towel, and I take her inside the house.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, any of you men that are married, let me tell
you
something to my friend. Never take a dog that has been hit by a skunk, even if you don't think it's bad, because skunk gets worse, and it gets not just a little worse. It doesn't get like 100% worse. It gets like 1,000% worse every 5 seconds. So I've got the dog wrapped up in the towel, and as I'm walking through the kitchen back into the laundry room, Linda is looking at me, and she says, "What are you thinking about?" And I went, "Well, I thought I could, you know, it doesn't smell." She says, "What do you mean the dog doesn't smell?" At this point, I was skunked too at that point. So I turn around and walk her on back out. Well, she says, "We need to get tomato juice." I said, "No, I read someplace about peroxide."
Uh-huh.
Well, this is what you do. You take a quarter peroxide.
3%.
3%.
Yeah.
You add a baking soda to it, a couple of teaspoons of baking soda, liquid soap, like, you know, Dawn, your kind for your dishes,
right,
and some water. Now, do not put this in a container with a lid on it. You have a chemical reaction going here. Meanwhile, I am outside with the dog who is, for the first time in her life, is really listening to me because now she realizes that she smells. And I smell. You take this mixture, you put it on the dog, and you suds it up. Of course, it's sudsing already.
Right.
And you let it sit for 5 minutes. Now, I am not teasing, my friends. You let it sit for 5 minutes on the dog. And then you rinse the dog in warm water. At the end of this, we took her into the shower and rinsed her off completely. And with a dog, you know, with a little dog shampoo. The dog does not smell.
Mm.
It took the whole odor out.
And
it took Linda.
You're in its closed room, you're not a problem either this morning. So.
Well, yeah. Because I was washing it down, it took it off my hands, which was mainly. It was on Linda's hands, though, for like an hour afterwards. And then she had to go back out and get into the solution and really, you know, and really work to get it off her hands. But I can just say is that it's a quarter peroxide. It's 2 or 3 tablespoons of baking soda. You've got to use that. It's 3% peroxide. The liquid hand soap, put it on the dog for like 5 minutes. You may have to do it twice, but on her, we just had to do it once. Anyway, that was my evening last night.
Well, see, you asked me why I love Redding. That's just a good story. You would never encounter that in Long Beach.
I've encountered this same skunk. I'm telling you, there's such a thing as going out there in stealth mode with a high-powered air rifle. But, of course, we'd never do that.
Mean at 100 feet.
At 100 feet, there you go. I'm just thinking is that it's just probably got a little. I'm just picturing like there's a whole bunch of little ones out there that hopefully Snooky realizes that there's a big difference between a skunk and a cat, that we don't have to do this all the time.
I would emphasize that Snooky is not named after the Jersey Shore of the same name.
No, though they named her after our dog, in fact.
For good
and,
yeah, I won't comment on that.
Yeah, I know. Okay, when we come back, we've got a couple announcements, public announcements, some guests are coming in here, some that, you know, again, supporting the community, and after that, we're going to get into health care.
Good.
We're going to get into health care. We're going to get into some things that Obama and his government are doing that we just can't figure out, but perhaps a good doctor can explain it.
I'll help.
Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, it's 7:35 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite right off of Airport Road. Doug Tooley and his band of installer, repair, and fixers of everything that has to do with Dish Satellite do great work. Doug guarantees his work. He's a local guy that spent some time in the 82nd Airborne. And does surround sound, he does home theater, he puts in your Dish network, and his phone number is 244-1988, and the best thing is that, you know, Doug guarantees his work, and he put in our system, and we are very, very happy with it. Our co-host guest today is Dr. Doug McConnell, And good morning there, Doctor.
Hello there. I'm actually surrounded by these great kids.
Yeah, I know, cheerleaders and football players. In fact, Daniel, you've come in today, and we want to talk about a fundraiser that you all have.
Good morning. We're with the Shasta Junior Wolves. It's a youth football organization. We actually hope to be acting sort of like a feeder up into the Shasta High Varsity program. So what's happening is on October the 2nd, it's a couple Saturdays from now, we're going to have a tri-tip dinner, and the tickets are $10. It's we were real lucky, you know, we had lots of community support for these type of things. So almost the whole $10 is going to go right to our organization. And what we use the money for is we have to rent the field from Shasta High School. We have to do safety inspections and replace our gear, all those types of things. You know, you got to pay for the lights when we turn the lights on down there. So everything that we get in goes right back to the organization. We have no paid employees or anything like that. You know, we have to pay for our insurance. And so, you know, there's quite an overhead involved with any kind of youth sports. So anyway, that's what we're down here for.
Who do we have with us today? Who's this gigantic football player over here?
We got my grandson, Calvin. He plays on the Pee Wee team. Say hello.
Hello.
And what position do you play, Calvin?
On offense, I play the right guard, and on defense, I play defensive tackle.
Oh, and I think you brought your own cheerleader here, huh?
Yeah.
And what's your name?
Kristen.
Kristen, and are you a cheerleader?
Yes.
And what kind of cheers do you do? Go team?
No, but I do cheers me too.
Oh, you do?
Or fight.
Oh, fight, team fight?
Can you do your
fight?
No.
Oh, okay.
F-I-G-H-T, fight, Wolves fight.
There you go. Okay, this is the Timberwolves, and Daniel, okay, when's this going to be?
It's on October the 2nd coming up.
Okay, October 2nd, that's next weekend, then, a week from Saturday?
Correct.
Okay, and where's it going to be at?
It'll be at Thompson Field. Thompson Field is right behind Shasta High School down the hill there. If it's okay with you, I'm going to leave some tickets here with you. Folks can talk with you about them.
There we go.
I'll also leave my phone number, and I'll have plenty of tickets still, and that would be 410-5862.
Okay, say that again, 410?
410-5862.
Yeah, your cheerleader is still talking over there in the background. Okay, what else did you want to say, hon?
That I'm very flexible, and I might get signed up for gymnastics, too.
Well, you know what? Bad Bob is very flexible,
like Carl,
too.
That's right.
Bad Bob is very flexible, too. He doesn't look like it, but that's how he started out in radio.
And Carl wishes he were flexible, but that's a medical issue.
I wish I could get my arm up above my head. Okay, well, thank you. She's doing it for me. That's okay. Hey, thank you so much for coming in. And
thanks.
We've got like I think 6 or 8 tickets here. If you want some, just give us a call here at the station. In fact, we'll give away two. The first person that calls us at 605-4567, we'll give you two tickets. Bye bye, honey. We'll give away two tickets for the tri-tip dinner. They're $10 value. So the first person to call is 605-4567. You get it. It's going for a good cause. Daniel, thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dan. Good to see you.
Take care, Doc.
Take care.
Okay. We're going to take a break here. This is Carl and the Bot. Linda's not here today, but Dr. Doug McConnell is. And when we get back, we're going to be talking some more serious issues. Let's talk about Obama health care. Let's talk about what's going on with that. You know, from a doctor's point of view, the things that you see.
Yeah,
right?
I'll be glad to.
Okay, Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. 43 in the morning. It's 52 degrees. It's going to be 85 today. Weather's brought to you by Anselmo. Anselmo Vineyards, great place to go to. Great food, great ambiance. They're open for lunches.
I'll second that.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you go up there. You know, one of the things I really like about Anselmo's is that it's consistent. The food is always consistent. You know, you can go to some places and one day it's just wow, and the next day you come in there, it's like, ooh.
No, it's always been great when we've been there. And chicken makes the day, meeting her.
And chicken and so on. Right.
She's the owner, or owner's wife, I guess.
They own it.
And she's, if you go there, see if chicken's there. You'll be pleasantly surprised to meet the owner,
and
operator.
Entertained.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Quite a lady.
That's right. Okay, you know, we've had you on before, Doug, and we've been talking about Obama health care. And the headline you hear is, it tries to humanize the health care debate. Obama tries to humanize the health care debate by bringing people in. And he says he hasn't sold health care. Can you sell this version of health care? Anybody?
It's been sold to the Congress and all the people that voted for it. And it, they tried to sell it to us as being a budget needed item, and then indeed we'll save money over the next decade by having this in place. That was, if you recall, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid's big thing. This is going to be budget neutral and save $110 billion over 10 years. Here it is. We have the proof right in our hands. And that was at the time of passing. The point is, that was all a lie. And that's the real part. I won't pretend, I'm a practicing cardiac surgeon. I've been in medicine a long time. I won't pretend to understand at the national policy level every nuance of what we need to do on health care. I have my ideas. But the truth is, there is one thing I do know for sure on this, and everybody can know this, is that the there was a trumped-up cutting of the physician reimbursement construct in Medicare going forward that was taken out of this bill. This bill passed and became certified as budget neutral because there is a 21% reduction of physician reimbursement in it.
They wanted to bring it in under $1 trillion.
Yes.
And they took out that $221 billion, they got that, right?
It may be more like $260
billion
by
billion, right. Not
addressing a structural problem in financing health care for Americans that goes back to the late 90s. They basically put off what needed to be done. And recognize the physician's reimbursement has been reduced sequentially over the years dramatically under Medicare. In fact, what I get reimbursed for coronary bypass corrected for inflation is 72% smaller than what it was 12 years ago. 72% pay cut for the same operation. That's
and this is for a coronary bypass.
That's correct, yes.
I believe you're talking, so that's like a 90-day, but that's like, a, you know, it's a 90-day procedure by the time you do follow-ups. And,
well,
you, know, and
you
all
get
that,
a single
that?
Check for the operation, pre-op care operation, and 90 days of care afterwards, no matter what the patient needs.
Right.
But that number is now, corrected for inflation, 72% smaller than it was in 1996. Going forward, past that point, they've built in a structural another 21% pay cut of the physicians, and that's scheduled to go. It was scheduled to go live in June. They funded it till November to prevent it because there's elections coming up, and then there's another. This lame duck Congress may address that, and then finally, in the Obamacare bill slated to go live January 1, 2011, that 21% cut is there, meaning that on that day, unless there's new funding added or new finance. Physicians are scheduled to get this 21% pay cut.
And
that will end Medicare.
Yeah, that has to do with Medicare and right now finding doctors that will take Medicare without taking money up front, it's getting a lot more difficult.
It may be. I always have, and most specialists have. But that said, yes, it's very difficult because remember I said they've been whittling away the fees steadily for all these 12 years. Now. With a scheduled 21%, the day that happens, access to Medicare in this country will change absolutely dramatically, which is politically not acceptable process, which means that the very Congress that told you this was less than $800 billion deal, you were lied to. Everybody that understands it, this was an absolute bald-faced standing up here behind the podium trying to sell you this thing. We're lying because we know that we're going to have to put $250 billion back into this pie we're trying to show you here. Otherwise, the physicians won't see you. So, you know, there is no future to Medicare unless this is addressed. Well, and even the chairman of the Congressional Budget Office, in his document to Harry Reid, recognizes that.
Well, one of the things that, you know, it's not just Dr. Doug McConnell that's saying this.
No.
I have talked to numerous physicians, and every one of them says the same thing. Unless something's done, health care as we know it is going to change dramatically, especially for the people on Medicare, because with that cut in pay, you've got to find other patients to make up for that. And some people because they really rely on the Medicare, some physicians, depending on what it is, I mean, that's a real 21% pay cut.
Well, in certain specialties, mine particularly, cardiac surgery, I deal pretty much with the Medicare and elderly population in the United States for valves and heart
surgery. So I'm affected by that. Obviously, a pediatrician isn't. But the point is, the internal medicine, family practice groups, orthopedic surgeons, people that really work with a large section of Medicare patients are all going to be challenged. But it's really the political consequences.
Yeah.
And the thing that I object to personally is, as I said, I don't claim to understand all the policy things, and I can understand it's a complex and difficult problem. But you can't sell a lie, and you shouldn't. That's the political process that I object to. I can deal with difficulty in my life. I can budget around challenges and financial challenges and deal with, but ultimately to be sold a lie and to have the, what I call the elected political leadership, be so brazen about it, to stand up there on TV and brag how this bill's going to do this. And every one of them knows and was put on notice by the chairman of the Congressional Budget Office that this cost is going to have to be addressed for political peace or to go forward. They lied. And that's the part that bothers me. I think the American people, I would have much more respected them and say, hey, look, doing this health care plan that Obama and certainly his advisors created is going to be a $1.1 trillion decision. Now let's go make a $1.1 trillion decision, but not cut it up and make it look like it's a $760 billion thing.
Yeah, they wanted to get away from that $1 trillion mark, and they didn't do it, and they lied about it. And, you know, the thing about it is like his chief economic advisors, of the four of them, three are gone.
That's correct.
And, and look for Geithner. He's going to be next. I mean, this guy is, I mean...
If you read through the bill, you sense that this was a patchwork by amateurs.
It's academics, and nothing against academia, except... all of his advisors are from the academia side, and none of them had run businesses.
That was correct, but they also need to be on my side as a provider.
Right.
And I think that it's very difficult dealing with the government when you try to provide care, and probably in an upcoming segment, I'll be glad to tell you, because what the Obamacare bill relies on, remember those 40 million people they wanted to get covered by insurance? They're really just pushing them on what we call Medicaid, which in this state is Medi-Cal. And I'd love to spend some time telling you what it's like, because those four people, they don't know what there's going to hit them in terms of what they can expect.
Well, as the co-host here, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, because today is the start of some of the health care provisions. No child being disqualified for pre-existing conditions,
correct.
I think. It's and a couple other things we'll go into. But I want to talk about this, because people don't realize, I mean, you add 40 million people to the numbers, where you're going to get the doctors from, and two, where's the money coming from?
And these new provisions, while well-intentioned they may be, cost somebody some money, and I just got my own office insurance bill up.
I'm glad
to talk about that.
Okay. This is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio. On KCNR 1460, our guest host is Dr. Doug McConnell. We're talking the Obama health care plan. We're going to be talking about a few other things, too, today. Join us after these messages. Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's off today, getting ready for On the Spot with Linda Bott tonight. Starting at 6 p.m. She's got a great guest list coming up. She's going to be talking some real, you know, heavy hitters in the music field, and talking with ladies who have made it in a, used to be a man's world, but they've been very successful in it. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest walk-in cigar place in the state. That humidor is outstanding. But not only do Joe and Shelley have that, but they have so many other things there at Tobacco and Brew. They have Espresso Joes, where you can get any type of coffee you want fixed, you know, several dozen different ways. So if you can't find it there, you're not going to find it anywhere. Really reasonable prices. They do a lot for our community, Joe and Shelley. They do a lot for our veterans. Go down to Tobacco and Brew at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Drop in, say hello, get a cup of coffee. Hit that perfect cigar. Our guest is Dr. Doug McConnell. He's not really a guest. He's our guest host.
Good. Thanks.
Because on Thursdays, we're going to do this. Every Thursday, we're going to have a different guest host in here to keep me out of trouble. That's expert on in certain fields. Now, we're talking about the health care plan. And, we have got so many different things we're going to continue to talk about. But a big thing here, and we've only got like 4 minutes left in the segment, is 40 million people is what they're saying that do not have health care.
That was the estimates of the, quote, uninsured.
Uninsured.
Now, and no one really knows entirely how that's measured, because my son, who just graduated from law school, spent 2 months without health insurance, and now has acquired his own policy. Now, technically, he'd be counted as an
uninsured. That's right. He was
once in that year,
that's
he
right.
was uninsured.
That's right.
26-year-old healthy crew member from Cornell University. And the truth is, he did fine and made the two-month gap and managed to get back into the clutches of the insurance industry quickly. But the truth is, he would be tallied as without insurance, which is sort of silly.
And that's one of the ones that was counted. But,
absolutely.
But under the new provisions of the health care is that you could have him on your health insurance at age 26.
Well, he just turned 26. So okay. But you're right. You could. I do have
right.
a daughter who's 23, and she's graduated from college, so she's no longer a student. So normally she'd be forced off, and now she can be kept on our
right.
health plan, which is an advantage. There are things, as
absolutely.
Particularly the children with pre-existing illnesses
right.
and portability of health care. I don't want my comments to be taken out of context. There are some desirable changes in how we manage and enforce the access in portability of health care that is an advantage. That could have and should have been a focus of a bill related to health care structure. But the rest of this, that was like opening a door into basically a horrific rework of the entire health care industry. But these issues, like covering your children who are still being launched in this difficult world, and particularly during a recession, and pre-existing illnesses, that was all reasonable things. Those were things to sit down at a table and see what could be accomplished.
I think everybody agreed on all sides that the healthcare system needed to be tweaked. I don't know if tweaked is the right word. There had to be parts of it that needed significant change, and you just mentioned some of them.
Right.
But to completely revamp this system and at the cost of it, and telling people you're going to be forced to buy medical insurance.
Well, that and the other part of this, but to really then take what is Medicaid, which is the medical care financing system for people below certain income levels, and then set that up as the alternative, and then to just force people into that and think you've accomplished something is a disaster, and that's really where we're headed. And we can comment at length about that, but I don't see that as a great. It's like you're in trouble and you want to go land on an island, but that island isn't really, stable.
The island's inhabited by tigers.
Well, Medicaid is, yes, and but I think again, nobody in Congress uses or probably encounters too many of their family members using Medicaid or understand. Nor do they talk to doctors that are basically servicing inner city folks. At least I believe. But Medicaid, as practiced in this state, is called Medi-Cal, and most physicians just shudder at the bureaucracy, the low reimbursement. But physicians have usually seen this as just charitable community service.
Well, the thing is that what we're getting ready to do is we're getting ready to take a health care system. We only got like 30 seconds left to the break, and we're going to come back and discuss this more with a few other things we want to discuss today. Is that we're taking a healthcare system that's more than adequate, and we're getting ready to dismantle it, I believe, and it's going to end up hurting more than it helps. And I can't see, if we continue the way it is, how it's going to get any better. I think it's just got to get worse. And you can just do is turn around and look at some of the other countries and see and look at that.
Agreed.
Okay, our guest host is Dr. Doug McConnell. You know, Linda's off today, getting ready for her show tonight, starting at 6 p.m. We come back, we're going to finish talking on healthcare, but there's a bunch of other things we need to talk about, too, on certain fallout from things that are happening up in the D.C. area. This is Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's 8:05 on September 23rd. Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. If you're just tuning in to us, though, you could have been with us for the last hour. Linda's off this morning. And she's getting ready for her show tonight, On the Spot with Linda Bott, talking about entertainment, talking about music, talking about those things that girls like to talk about and some men like to listen to. Our guest today is, and we're doing our guest co-host every Thursday now, and last week was our first time with Barbara Harrison, but today it's Dr. Doug McConnell, who has been with us for the last hour, and we have been discussing and wondering what happened with the health care bill and why we were lied to, blatantly lied to, not just by mistake lied to, by omission, but to look us in the eye, Nancy Pelosi, Reed, Boxer, Feinstein looked us in the eye and lied to us. So good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. No, I can see you're getting worked up, but I think it is that straightforward. The Congressional Budget Office letter to Harry Reid pretty much lays it out on page 17 that you guys aren't dealing with this $250 billion issue of doctor cut and pay just to make this bill get past our scoring. Unfortunately, the CBO can only score the bill as presented.
Okay, we got some questions here from the chat room, Bob.
Well, first of all, question, if my child has a pre-existing condition, say cancer, and an insurance company has to insure him under the new rules, does that mean the company will absorb the entire cost, or will the individual's payments suddenly jack up, you know, $5,000 or so to cover that? How's that going to work out?
Well, companies are just companies. They're basically legal constructs. So this whole idea of them absorbing, the truth is any cost of doing business has to be borne by the ultimate consumer of any product. And again, I'm not an expert in insurance finance, but the truth is when you end the pre-existing illness provisions in healthcare, which was really designed to make sure people were paying into the system when they were healthy, you end up raising the cost of insuring whatever population is out there. Those costs are passed on to the ratepayers.
In fact, I think they've actually said is that you're seeing that in the last few months that the insurance rates are going up to start covering for this.
They are, but I want to the questioner's question. Yeah. That said, this is always a pressure because on the other side, a young family that does have a child with cancer is facing horrific bills. So the question is, you have to decide. Obviously, the cost of that care has to be borne by someone. Either the hospitals are going to donate it free, which they can only do up to a limit. Doctors can donate their part. But ultimately, it has to be addressed. And so there's no free lunch in the sense that, in truth, the cost, if you make an insurance company deal with patients who are going to cost them more to provide care for, then they're going to end up passing those costs into their cost of doing business. That's separate from arguing about, you know, what should insurance company executives be paid and shareholders.
That's a completely different thing.
Well, and those we can all argue about. But the truth is, if you raise the cost of doing business in the healthcare industry or life insurance, then you're going to have more expensive policies, and that's happened to me. My own policy in my office was just bumped almost 40%. My young, attractive, young lady from Reading agent came in with a sort of a little grimace on her face saying, I have to show you what your new rate hike is.
And this rate hike is for what?
That covers me, my family, which is my wife and our youngest daughter.
Now, this is your own health insurance?
This is for my office. Yeah, I'm a small business.
Right.
I run a group. I have employees in town. I have an office. I have lease and have all the overhead and heating bills, just like any other businessman.
Right.
And my health care insurance went up 40% from last year's premium to what I have to pay starting next month.
Ouch.
40%.
40%.
And we've had no claims. By the way, that's a policy that's got a $6,000 deductible.
40? Yeah. Did they give a reason?
No, just a lot of what we're talking about.
What we're talking about. That's right.
Two things. They're uncertain of their future. I'm sure that's the case. They know these rules are coming into play related to covering all kids up till 26. And then the pre-existing illness things are going to be phased out at some point. And out there is this threat that the government may just socialize or take over the insurance industry. So it behooves them, in a selfish way, to just raise their premium structures to sort of show what their income level is to basically try to peg that. Who the heck knows? But the truth is, this was approved by the insurance commissioner of California because they can't raise those rates unless it gets approved at some state legislature. So this here we are. And I can do another whole show of on the backside. I see what the arrangements are sometimes made with payers, the contracts that exist, particularly in Southern California, between these programs. But anyway, yes, as a small businessman, I could have been the dry cleaner right down the street, but I just got a 40% increase with my insurance policy.
Because of, and it's in, and you believe, and I believe, at least I believe, it's directly related to what's going on with the health care thing.
Well, it's fiscal uncertainty. Right. So if the insurance companies, they're certainly not going to be cutting their premiums right now. They're trying to build up reserves based on probably new regs they have to deal with, much like banks have to raise their reserves. So where do they get reserves except from the current premium holders?
From the people that are paying.
Yes.
We've got to take a break here. Okay. And we've got more questions coming in the chat room. But if you've got a question about the health care plan, excuse me, or questions for the doctor, or questions about what you see coming on with the health care, or just anything, this is open line, give us a call at 530-605-4567. Let us know what you think. What do you think about the health care? Do you think it was do you think that, one, we needed to change it a little? Or do you think, yeah, let's just take it all. Everybody should have health care. Everybody should have health care. Join us after these messages.
You can save
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning. Our guest co-host is Dr. Doug McConnell. This portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. Right off Airport Road, down from the Burrito Bandito. Doug Cooley's been in the business since 1985, except from time taken off to be with the 82nd Airborne. He puts in a dish TV for you, that dish satellite. We had him come over to our house. He put in the satellite. The service was outstanding. Give him a call at 244-1988. He guarantees his work. He's a local man, local people. You deal with somebody right here. When you make a phone call, you are not talking to Indonesia, I promise. You're talking to Heather. And Heather can reach out and just grab Doug when she needs to, which is always good. So that's Doug Tooley at BNT Satellite. Our guest is Dr. Doug McConnell. We're talking medical questions and also the Obama health care and that, and we have a caller. Karen, you are on KCNR.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I'm actually calling for my 24-year-old daughter. She works in the medical field. She's an actual EMT, but only works part-time, but works all the time, obviously. She was taking the Shasta Regional Medical Center. We thought it was just an asthma attack, but they ended up keeping her 4 days. It was kind of a life and death situation. Her bill ended up being $26,000. Now, my daughter is good on all of her credit. She takes a lot of pride in that. Shasta Regional will not work with her. The one guy that first talked to her threatened her with that she'll never be able to buy a house or a car if she doesn't pay this bill. They want her to pay like $1,400 a month. Because she works, she doesn't qualify for any Medi-Cal, CMSP, anything like that. However, she picks up people on a daily basis where they're going to the hospital in ambulance because they're nauseated when the parent follows them in a car. So my question to you is, what happens with a person like that, that actually does work, has a $26,000 bill, and no help for her at all?
In the middle. That's a great question.
Well, it is, and I'm sympathetic. In truth, in my experience, certainly down south in Long Beach, and I've only been up here for a year, but what's billed and what's actually ultimately paid are quite a bit different, particularly when it related to insurance companies. Meaning that I think that in your particular case, frankly, I'll be glad to if we can get some information offline, we can certainly talk to a hospital. I'm not in their business construct, but hospitals generally do work with people because bill charges are. Bill charges. And the industry, I know what bill we submit to Medicare, and I know that we never expect to get any of that paid. So in other words, there's a big difference. And I agree with your daughter's your frustration and hers that there's got to be a way to deal with this that is not just dealing with the upfront bill charges. And most likely there is. And
when she's talked to them, she said, look, I can, you know, pay you $140.
Sure.
And, you know, as things go on, I can pay more. But they're pretty rude about it to the point where, no, you have to pay it off in 2 years. And, you know, it's really affecting her health. It's making her sick to her stomach because she's young and she doesn't – it wasn't her fault that she got taken. We thought she was just going to go one day.
Sure. Well, I think tell you what, I've got friends in the system there, and I think we just need to. I need to get the particulars, but I tell you what, why don't you call my office in town here, 242-6122.
242, what is it?
6122.
Okay.
And as I said, I don't
not a direct employee, but I certainly know that we can address this, because Shasta Regional's mission is to really do well for the community and give it good medical care and also address these issues. But bill charges in health care are unrealistic, meaning that we crank out, meaning the industry cranks out numbers that get submitted, and everybody knows that things are paid at a different rate now.
Oh, yeah, I work for an attorney, and I see what...
Sure.
Like, if you have Blue Cross, they have a contracted rate that pays a low, low amount.
Yeah.
So, the least they could do is give her a prorated amount.
Right, and the cash patient is the one that gets hung up here, because they do negotiate cheaper rates with insurance companies. So, while I can't speak for the institution, I can certainly guarantee getting her... reasonable access, and I'll be glad to talk to
you. And Karen,
I'll talk to my people.
you know, Karen. One of the things that you brought up here, and I mean, about your daughter. Here's your daughter's working. She's working all the time,
right?
And she's taking people to the hospital, and so many people are getting free care.
Yeah, exactly.
And free care, but because she works,
she is
being punished.
I think there's something wrong with that. And I agree with that outrage. I would tell you, I have a son. If you were listening earlier, 26-year-old, graduated from law school, and we just got him a really good policy for less than $100 a month, because 26-year-olds are very healthy, and it's a catastrophic problem. We'll let him have $2,000-$3,000 deductible or whatever it is, but it really would cover a lot of his costs were he to be hospitalized. And frankly, for the young part-time, or let's say young kids are now getting into jobs where the employer isn't offering health care for whatever reason, and that may be why she wasn't covered. But there are good individual policy with either the Blues for 26-year-olds. You just fill them out on the internet, and you start sending them $90 a month. They're happy to cover you, and that really would protect you for this sort of hospitalization.
Yeah, that would be great.
And I think people tend to be passive. You know, they get the job, and my employer won't pay health care. And then they go out and look at policies which are, you know, $500 a deductible and stuff. And they're unaffordable. So, but at 26, you're really trying to get covered for the auto accident or the catastrophic case.
Correct.
And that means you really want something that's got a $3,000, she's got parents like you, and you want a $3,000, $4,000 deductible. But if you get hospitalized, that bill can run up pretty quickly, as you unfortunately found out.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would go talk to some good agents.
Okay, hey, Karen, thank you so much for your phone call.
Give us a call. My office will try to help.
And when she calls, does she ask for anybody special?
Well, Clara. My office is small, so it's Clara and me.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We'll make sure she gets the straight line.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, Karen, and calling. Okay, we've got to take a quick break here. This is Carl Bott. My guest is our guest host. Not just a guest, but guest host is Dr. Doug McConnell. I'm not making him do the weather or anything like that, but you're holding up your side there, Doug.
I'm trying. Thanks.
You are. You're doing a great job. Okay, we're going to take a few messages here. Join us after these messages.
Integrity.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. 8:25 on September 23rd. It's like 54 degrees. It's going to be a great day today, about 85. It's going to be a good weekend, too. The weather's brought to you by Anselmo's. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. DC, Tim, and the Man in Black. Cut hair, great prices. They give discounts to you if you're a veteran. And here's what you don't have to worry about. When you walk in and you see those heads on the wall.
Yes.
The antelope heads, there's a crocodile, I think.
No Vogue magazines?
No Vogue magazines. You will not see good housekeeping. That's it. And there'll be gun and ammo. There'll be car magazines. You know what? It's just the atmosphere that when you get in there, you know, you just want to get your hair cut.
So it's a barbershop, not a hairstylist.
There is no hairstyling going on there. And, in fact, it's man's last stronghold, Doug. It says it right on the window, so it must be true.
And where's that located again?
That's Athens Avenue, right in Cypress Square, there, that little spot there.
Oh, yes.
So when you drive in, you know, you make a right turn, you know, you see the fishing place on your left, make a right turn, it's right there, you'll see it. Cypress Square Barbershop.
I think I'm going to go there. I may have been talking to a discount because I don't have any hair on top of my head.
Well, no, I think they have a hunting license. That's what they tell me, you know. So they have to hunt for the hair. They cost more.
Oh.
But you're a veteran, so you get that off.
Oh, very good.
That's right. And if you're over, and they even have senior discounts. So I don't mean to go on and on about this, but this is, like I said, man's last stronghold. Okay, the chat room had a great question there. They said, what about collecting all this information and then making it available to anybody that's in the network? Is that essentially what it said, Bob?
Yes, and in fact, there's a case pending with Blue Cross being sued over divulging information that was unrelated, but an attorney subpoenaed the information. And, of course, can the government subpoena this information on our, on what's some very private issues?
You know. Well, it's the truth, the
what happened to the
brave
thing?
Yeah. Well, you mean confidential doctor? Yes. Yeah. It goes away if indeed medical records are electronic and owned by the person paying the bill.
Say that again.
Well,
so electronic records.
Well, electronic medical records is a big part
right.
of what's in here. Now,
yes.
There are reasons that the paper record in healthcare can slow down and impede easy transfer of medical information around. That said, there's a big push to come up with a national standard on electronic medical record that would be true of all hospitals, and all doctors' offices are being pushed in that direction as well. It doesn't go long from there, since it's not a big jump, because even right now, even to get an authorization to be treated under Medicaid or Medi-Cal, you must fill out and provide information and codes and treatments and diagnosis codes to a bureaucracy in Sacramento, so they can then tell you whether you can bring that patient in for surgery or not. So a lot of medical information is getting coded and attached to identifiers and processed in government offices already under Medicaid, Medicare to a certain extent, but eventually medical records will probably be studied, and part of the legislation has to do with looking for effectiveness solutions, which is yeah. based on collecting medical information about broad segments of the population. So,
am I having a problem with this because I'm just kind of like paranoid that once you collect this information that you know it's going to be accessible?
Is it going
to
be collected accurately?
And yeah,
how is it
going to
be collated and studied and reported? And you know, you think about the no-fly lists, where you find people are mysteriously on no-fly lists, and they find
somebody just told us that yesterday. They were trying to get out of New Zealand and said, "You're not even in New Zealand." Well, I think I am,
yeah.
because of that list was.
So you know, the systems are imperfect. They're designed by humans. Yeah. They're fed by humans. And the truth is, how will that be? The truth is, it's quite possible that there'll be major mistakes or foul-ups, yeah. But the information will be public once it's in the government's hands. It's going to have to be.
Just as an example, I have a prescription from the VA that comes to me whenever I call for a refill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't get it. And so I go down and said, they go, "Well, that's strange." So they just give me a prescription. It goes on, and I go back, and she's checking it. And where you click in under the address, instead of putting U for United States, somebody put Y in. So I was living in Yemen.
Oh, my.
And according to the computer. And
yeah.
They don't ship a prescription
to Yemen.
You know, if it's, you know, for vitamin D. They don't ship anything out of the States because somebody put a Y instead of a U.
And that is what can happen in the computer world. So I can share the angst. There are some benefits from electronic information.
Uh-huh.
But is it possible to be misused or ill used? Yes. And then there's the issue of confidentiality and all that.
Oh yeah.
Anytime you have a resource that's in short supply, you hear noises about, well, we need to prioritize, and will this be prioritized on a basis of a person's usefulness to society?
Well, in truth, there is a part of that legislation that addresses that, and they have a whole formula in there. That's actually Rahm Emanuel's brother.
Okay, yeah, we want to talk about that, too. We've got to take a break for the news. Carlin Nabat, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back. Carlin Nabat, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's September 23rd. It's 8:34 in the morning. And our phone lines here are 605-4567. And we've been discussing healthcare with our guest co-host on Thursdays. This week it's Dr. Doug McConnell, who is the head of the heart surgery. If I think this is the right,
that's correct.
Head of heart surgery at Shasta Regional.
Well, I work with a wonderful team of good people.
And you've always talked about that, about your team.
I cannot do heart surgery alone. It takes a team of minimum of probably, in the room, 8, but there's got to be a total of 18 people to really make it all happen.
So. Well, you know what? We've been banging away at this healthcare plan and all this, and let's take a little step back here, because isn't there and tell me if I'm wrong here, but doesn't the operating room or a number of the surgeons there have a have a band?
A band. Oh, yeah. Well, actually...
Am I mixing this up with something else?
No, you're correct. As I said, it takes a team to do heart surgery. Uh-huh. When I have the heart stopped and we're working on replacing a heart valve or sewing a coronary bypass, behind me stands a very talented, although I don't want him to hear this, but he's a very talented perfusionist. Now, he's running the heart-lung machine, so he's actually keeping the patient alive while I get to work on the heart. That's why I said it's a team. He's behind me, but Rob has a band called Grilled Cheese.
Grilled Cheese.
Yes, and that had to do with there was a physician in town who just moved to us down south near San Diego, I believe. Momo was his nickname, and they were a very talented group. But it was basically two Caucasians and a Oriental. That was the Grilled Cheese, two white. Anyway, that was their choice.
That was their choice.
That was their choice.
Let's make that up. I mean, let's make that clear.
And
though.
They were excellent. And Momo has gone south for medical reasons. So he could practice down there.
They practice down there.
That said, by popular demand, I've heard the rumor that we're bringing them back up so we can have our annual Christmas party. We're getting the band back together.
Oh, okay.
Plus, there's another talented individual who's joining them, and they're working on their stuff. But, yes, it was an all-hospital band, basically. They're good.
Well, let's take it up to the other thing, too. One of the things when you said you moved here,
yes,
and you mentioned the cultural events, and I laughed when you said the rodeo and the...
Cool April Nights.
And Cool April Nights, which
well,
really,
I didn't finish
are,
the list.
Well, I know that, but then we were talking on the break, and you were discussing how, you know, Garrison Keillor was just here.
Wonderful, absolutely.
And tell that story.
Well,
because
Garrison Keillor. Well, yeah. I actually had a group of eight of us, or actually probably 12 at Rivers, if that's what you mean. We were having introductions of new technology for the OR with our nursing team, so we actually had the vendor bringing stuff up, and we sat out on the Rivers patio having an in-service with nurses, doctors, technicians, and the vendor of the new device we're going to use in the operating room. Gorgeous evening, sun setting, and Bonnie and I recognized we had to be at Garrison Keillor at 7:30. So about 7:15 we excused ourselves because it was coming to an end. We jumped up, ran to our car, hit Cypress Avenue, got to the Cascade Theater, slipped into our reserve seats just as Garrison Keillor walks on and sits down and the show starts for 2 hours, and it was absolutely wonderful. The point is, in Long Beach, you could never get from one spot to another.
That's right.
And have this sort of high-level eating experience on a great environment right on the river, right over into a Class A theater, and see a world-class performance.
You know,
and that was Bing Bangle, just there. And we started the talk on Rivers at 5. By 7:30, we were at our seats at Garrison Keillor. He went for 2 hours, 9:30. We left 9:40, we were home.
Well, that's it. You know, and people, you know, and it's like the symphony, and the symphony's getting ready. We had the conductor on yesterday.
A Stanford grad as well.
That's right. He is.
Yeah.
In fact, he got his doctorate in music.
At Stanford, yeah.
Well, he was back at Peabody Conservatory for that, but he did go to Stanford
to
get his undergraduate. But the thing is that here's something else. We have the symphony may not be the, Los Angeles Philharmonic.
No, don't apologize.
But they are great. No, this is what he said. He said, we don't spend, what did he say? $4.7 million a year or $74 million a year on ours, but we are good. And we've heard them.
Well,
and you've heard them.
I have. Yeah. And last year I was invited to a performance at the Cascade, first time I was at the Cascade, and they did the Beethoven's Fifth Symphony as part of that evening. And I sat there and I was enthralled. It was the best rendition of that I'd ever heard in a wonderful small auditorium.
Yeah.
And I really was enjoyed it. And then I had the experience of going to someone's home when they had the first violinist, or actually the concertmeister, play some violin solos with a pianist.
And we were able to go to one of those
and
had a great time.
I walked up to her afterwards. I said, I've been enthralled by violinists once in my life. It's Jack Perlman and you.
Wow.
And I said, it was wonderful. And so it's a class act. And indeed, I think October 2nd, they're having their kickoff on the Mall prior to the first concert up here.
That's right.
And I think everybody should go to it. It's a wonderful institution, and it's quality, good music, and wonderful people. And it's the people that, back to one of the reasons we moved up here, it's those people that make up think of the diverse group of the Shasta, of the symphony, North State Symphony.
Right.
And then you move on to the Cool April Night organizers. And then you got the Asphalt Cowboys and the rodeo folks. These are all great mixes. And there's some people in all of them, and a lot of people do their own thing. But the truth is, that's really what makes Reading a great place.
Okay, we've got a phone call. And again, open line. Chris, good morning. You're on KCNR.
Good morning. This is Chris with the Shasta County Citizens for Democracy. I would like to tell your listeners We're having a Reading City Council Candidates Forum this Sunday.
Okay.
At 2 o'clock at the Reading Library, so everybody's welcome.
Okay, now, is this, how many people are you going to have there from the City Council candidates?
Nine. The only one who had a prior engagement was Gary Cadd.
Oh, okay. So you're going to have all of them there at the Shasta County Library, and that's going to be Sunday at what time, Chris?
2 o'clock in the community room of the library.
Okay. Is this going to be something that the last three standing get your vote? Or is this, going to be a little bit more sedate?
Well, it might not be real sedate. We're going to let the audience ask questions.
Ooh, citizens for democracy. Okay. So could I say, would you then warn people like Patrick Jones to put on a flak jacket? Or?
Well, no. The audience
I know.
Has to be nice. They'd or we won't let them stay.
There you go. You know what, Chris? I love it. It's civil. Ask
yes.
the hard questions, but be civil about it. Don't embarrass people. Don't scream at them.
That's
be civil.
Right. And we won't allow that.
Sounds good.
Okay, Chris, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
All right. Hey, we've got to take a quick break here. It's Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's off today getting ready for her show tonight on the spot with Linda Bott, but our very capable co-host, Dr. Doug McConnell, is sitting in here. We're
right.
talking about everything.
I do, and when we come back, I'd like to explain the difference between a million, billion, and trillion.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, so you can really understand it.
Join us after these messages.
Million, billion, remember that.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:45 in the morning. It's 52 degrees. It's going to go up to 85 today. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo's. And by the way, Anselmo's, tomorrow night, they're having music. Make your reservations, call up there, and fill up that room there because the room does fill up quick. And if you can't get into the music room, you can always, always go out and enjoy that fine dining out on their patio. It's beautiful out there, and this time of the year, the weather
sunset.
Is, oh, the sunset and everything. Music starts at 6 o'clock.
Great.
I would like to tell you about two of my favorite people and what they're doing at their restaurant, which I would call an institution in Reading for this past 20-some-odd years, Classic Cafe. Now, you want to talk about two ladies who absolutely support the veterans. You go in there, it's like walking into a museum, the history of the veterans, the pictures, and the artifacts.
Of the North State.
Yep.
Yeah.
For 24 years, they've been there on Athens Avenue, 2427. They're having, they have their specialty dinners, and this Friday,
tomorrow,
that's right, German, and they serve up some good stuff. I'm going to mispronounce most of these, I'm sure. Sauerbraten, Jägerschnitzel, Schweinbraten. This is all the good stuff, and it.
I heard Brenda call you a Schweinbraten the other day. Come to think, but I wonder what that was.
But Kathy and Millie are just a class act.
They are.
I've known them for 20 plus years.
You know what, my friends? You know, a Classic Cafe. You go down there, and it is. It's like a walk through history for the Reading, for North State veterans. It's on the walls there, and they are such nice ladies. You get a hug when you come in there, and a hug when you leave. They are Classic Cafe, and the address is 2427 Athens Avenue.
So I can go down to Athens, get my hair cut, and get two hugs.
You can get fed, two hugs, and a haircut, all within 50 yards.
And a veteran salute.
And a veteran salute, that's right.
Great place to go.
Don't forget to tell them you're a veteran. They have a veteran's discount there.
All right.
Okay. What's the difference between a million, billion, and trillion?
Okay, well, we all wallow in these numbers and the news and so forth, and we all know they're bigger, but you don't feel it in your gut. And so when someone talks about $1 billion here, a million there, and a trillion, convert it to seconds, and a million seconds is 11 days in length. All right?
Okay.
That's okay. A billion seconds is 33 years in length.
Big difference. So a million seconds is 11 days, a billion is 33 years.
That is correct. And a trillion seconds is 33,000 years in length. Time.
Wow.
Now you have the scope of the difference between a million, a billion, which is 1,000 millions, and then a trillion is 1,000 billions. So you go from 11 days, 33 years, 33,000 years in length. So these are not small numbers. And when people start talking about 1 trillion, it's just one.
Yeah,
it's
actually
33,000 years in length. Which
yeah, but a trillion doesn't buy like, you know, what a trillion used to buy, though. Doug, come on, give us a break here.
You know, just to put, now your gut can understand what the heck's going on.
I saw a photo, or not a photo, but an artist rendition. If you had, you know, $1 million or $1 billion on a pallet, mm-hmm. how many pallets it would be. And it's just, I mean, as far as you could see.
Yeah.
You know, make it a trillion.
If you and I...
33,000 years.
Right, which meant that if we had, if we, in seconds, if we had a machine here pumping out a $1,000 bill every second, it would have to run for 33 years to create a trillion dollars. Every second, $1,000.
Well, yet we seem to be able to spend that a little bit quicker.
Well, it's
that's
we are.
The government pretty impressed.
And we're spending well over that in a year, and it all comes from us.
Well,
it comes from the used car lot I was just visiting yesterday.
That's the other thing we're talking about, too, is that where's the money go? Where's the main money go for these things?
Well, now you're talking about federal discretion, but I was just talking to a friend of mine who runs a used car lot in town. Lovely place. It's about 100 feet long, 40 feet wide. In 2007, that business sent to the state $400,000+ of sales tax. Just that little plot of land and the people working on it generated revenues to the state for over $400,000. Actually, the state makes more on selling a car. I mean, the state collects 8% sales tax plus all the DMV fees, and that's bigger than the profit of the guy who takes the risk of leasing the land and doing the car business. So the state actually makes more money off every car transaction than does the owner of the lot. Same with a gas pump. You know, the feds make 18 cents a gallon, I believe, profit on every gallon of gas you pump. The guy that owns the station makes 2 cents.
Yeah.
And he takes the risk.
Okay, we've got to take a break here before we get in our last segment. Doug, you're such a cheerful guy till you come on the show. At the end of this, I'm sitting there going, I'm hurting here.
I'm not giving you opinions. These are all facts.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, just like this. 2 years ago, 600 car dealerships, I think, went down 2 years ago. Last year, 6,000 went under.
Well,
and you think about that. 6,000 car dealerships went under. How many people did that put out of work? And how much was lost in taxes and, infrastructure, ability to pay for infrastructure for your police, for your firemen and all that?
Well, recognize what we don't need is a jobs bill. We need an employer bill. And every time you hear the word jobs bill in politics discussed, erase the word jobs and put employers. What you need is a tax and fiscal policy from the government that will create employers. Because when they hear jobs bill discussed by the feds, they're talking about creating federal jobs, which aren't sustainable.
No, and federal jobs do not make money.
No.
They spend money.
That is correct.
Okay, we got to take a break. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hi, this is...
Down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell. But I won't back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. 8:55 in the morning, our last segment. Carl and Linda Bott. Of course, Linda is off on Thursday mornings because she gets ready for her show On the Spot with Linda Bott. That starts tonight at 6 o'clock right here on 1460. She's going to be talking, entertainment, girl stuff. But, it's really, I'm interested in it too because her guest cover the gamut of everything that's going on here in Reading. And we've been talking about that off and on, is so many things that are going on in our city that are great. Our co-host, on every Thursday, we're going to have a guest co-host, and today it's Dr. Doug McConnell. We've been talking Obama health care issues. We've been talking cultural events here in our great city. And we've got like 4 or 5 minutes left, but I do want to mention the MASH Bash. I talked about it earlier. It's going to be on Saturday, September 25th. This is to raise money for the Northern California Veterans Heritage Museum. And it's going to be at the Shasta Air Center. Tickets are $35 for adults, $25 for under 18. And if you're under 10, it's free. They're going to have Corporal Klinger and Hot Lips Contest. I know Les Baugh is going to be there. The sheriff's going to be there. Patrick Jones, the mayor, is going to be doing the cooking. You're going to have Hilo rides available at an extra price.
Is there any truth you're going to be in that Klinger contest?
Well, you know what? Just because I'm wearing a skirt today means nothing.
And your legs are not shaved. Okay.
That's right, but I understand you were going to be in the Hot Lips contest. Okay.
Only as a judge.
They're gonna have great historical displays. They're gonna have music. It's gonna be a great day there. So
maybe you're a historical display.
I feel like I'm over.
Oh, I got it wrong.
Well, you know, I tell you what, it's
the best he wants Linda
the
back thing, now.
You know, that's the best thing about having a radio show because he's not going to be here tomorrow, but I will be. I hope. Okay. Oh, now you know you had something here. We wanted to finish up with Doug that one of your people that you work with.
In Reading, there's an excellent family practitioner who's been well-established, been here a long time. But for a lot of the financial pressures and uncertainties going forward with Obamacare and the struggle to keep his office working, because remember when I talked about that 72% reduction in fees for someone, a surgeon of myself, all of our overhead's gone up every year right on schedule, including our own health care insurance costs. Mine just went up 40% for that. He's calling it quits. He's hanging up his shingle. And that's really how the revolution...
Now, is he retiring?
No, he's probably can't be even 50.
Is he moving to a remote valley in Colorado?
No, he's not moving. He's going to change how he chooses to work because he's given up the dream of his own running his own office and practice for a lot of reasonable reasons. I mean, you talk sitting across from him, he just is frustrated with the bureaucracies you have to deal with, like we were talking about off air about just calling Medicaid to get someone approved for getting a new heart valve. They'll tell you it will take at least 30 days, but you know we're getting state furloughs, so we're not sure when we get around to approving the new heart valve. And we deal with this at great expense at our end, trying to just get permission from a nameless bureaucrat to do the right thing for somebody. And so anyway, what I'm getting at is that, you know, come January, just no one will be answering his phone. And that's sort of how the revolution will occur. All these phones and offices that across the country, it's not going to be a single big day where the doctors go on strike, but there'll just suddenly be nobody.
It's just slowly.
No phones being answered.
But this has been said. This was said. If you pass this health care bill, with all this uncertainty, with all these extra costs, with all these things that are going to happen, doctors are just going to say, you know what, it's not worth it to me. And they, you know, our medical schools don't even produce enough doctors to replace the ones that are just retiring, much less the ones that have said, I've had it.
In my field, in cardiac surgery, over 30% of the residencies in my specialty have no applicants. When I applied to become a thoracic cardiac surgeon in my training program in the early 70s, it was the most competitive and sought-after position in America, and there were 3 and 4 applicants for every slot in the country. Now we have nobody wants to become a cardiothoracic surgeon. Some of those are technical. Some of them are just no one has. People graduate medical school with so much debt that they don't want to take an 8-year training program to pay that off. They can go into shorter fields and get to working sooner.
Well, and then at some point.
But everybody's discouraged. Let's put it this way.
It's disheartening
to the medical profession. And we're not talking just dollars. It's the bureaucracy that you now deal with to do the simplest of things. And then the bureaucrats also want to constantly come back and check certification.
Linda's brother is also a physician.
I didn't know
and,
that.
Yeah, he has a pain clinic down in Sacramento.
Yes.
And Lee spends so much time on the bureaucracy side of it. He works 7 days a week.
Yes.
He says his retirement plan is just dropping dead in the office.
Yeah, well, I couldn't even contribute to mine 8 years ago. We had to quit.
Well, our guest co-host today is Dr. Doug McConnell. Tonight on Linda's show, she's got a number of guests. Come in and listen to this because she's got the women who break the glass ceiling. We've got a police lieutenant in that you're going to find really interesting. Plus, of course, Lisa Collins and entertainment and the products and all that. Tomorrow we've got a wide open show. We've got some surprise guests. So tune in tomorrow at 7 o'clock. Doug, thanks a lot for being here.
It's been great.
And let's see, what do we got left here? Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys.
And that's,
which are you?
And that's Symphony Kickoff.
And that's Symphony Kickoff.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.